guest today, Michelle Kaufman, has been a sports writer for 21 years. Her sports journalism career began at the St. Petersburg Times, where she covered the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. She was one of the only women covering the NFL at that time. From there, she went to the Detroit Free Press, where she spent 7 years before returning home to the Miami Herald in 1996. Michelle has covered 10 Olympics and 4 World Cups. Welcome, Michelle. Thanks so much for stopping by the Book Report.
Sure, I'm happy to be here.
All right. Which sports columnist did you read while you were growing up that kind of led you into your field?
I didn't really know I was going into this field when I was a kid, so I wasn't reading it for that reason, but I did always like Edwin Pope of the Miami Herald. I grew up in Miami, and Edwin Pope and Bob Rubin were the two columnists that were down here. So then one writer that did have an influence on me was Christine Brennan. She was working at the Miami Herald at the time. She was a young reporter. And when I got to UM and I was taking a journalism class there, she came and spoke at our class. And immediately after meeting her, I thought, I could be her. I could be like her. So I went up and I asked her for her business card, and I started thinking about sports writing after listening to her. So, and she ended up really being a mentor throughout my career. We're very good friends now. She's not even that much older than me, but when I was in college, she was in her early 20s. She was just getting started, and so I related to her. And she went on to the Washington Post. She was the first woman to cover the Washington Redskins, and now she's a columnist at the USA Today. So she's someone who definitely influenced me.
Did she feel that it was, you know, was she doing breakthrough stuff as a woman, kind of one of the first to get into the locker room?
Yes, she was. And then I was shortly thereafter. I started working at the St. Petersburg Times. And 1 year out of college in 1988, they gave me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat. So I was the NFL beat writer, and I was 23 years old. And at that time, I was the only woman beat writer in the whole United States that was a full-time NFL beat writer that particular season. And definitely at my newspaper, I was the first one to do that. And it was quite an experience. I was young and inexperienced, and all of a sudden I'm thrown into the situation. And yeah, there were many, many horrible locker room incidents, and people yelling things at me and people saying gross things. And there were many, many times where I wondered if I really wanted to do this, if it was worth it. But I'm glad I stuck with it. Times are a little better now, but it's still, there are still only about 600 female sports journalists in the United States, and there are 1,500 newspapers, and that's it. So there will be a press corps of 7,000 or 8,000 people at a World Cup, and you will see maybe 10 women out of 7,000 writers. So yeah, it's still a very, very, very male-dominated field.
Speaking about passion, as a genre, sports books have as much or more passion as romance. Why do you think that is?
I think people are incredibly passionate about sports. There are a lot of my female friends don't like sports, and they wonder, why do I like sports? And I try to explain to them that sports, it's like theater. It's like drama. It's like a great movie. There's winners. There's losers. There are characters who are, you know, antagonistic. There are enemies and heroes and people overcoming great odds. So that's why I love sports writing, and I love reading sports books too, because athletes are, they're people who are really, really driven, passionate about what they do, and sometimes they have to overcome incredible odds to get there. Sometimes they face, you know, rivals that they can't stand, and so it makes for great theater when they're on the field or the court.
What books really made an impact on you that you think all aspiring sports writers should pick up?
Well, I made a little list. There are so many good sports books out there. There really are, and it kind of depends what sport you like and what sort of thing you like. I like the kind of books that are sort of behind the scenes of certain sports that really show you the inner workings of how a sport is. One of them that I loved was Friday Night Lights, which became a TV series, and it was a movie. And that's a book by H.G. Bissinger, and that's a book about a high school football team in Odessa, Texas. And through that football team, you learn about life in this little town in Texas and how even though there are racial divides, there are economic divides in that town, every Friday night, the whole community comes together because high school football is so huge in the state of Texas. And it was such a great story that it became this TV series. Another book that was a similar kind of thing is Blindside by Michael Lewis. And he takes one guy and really tells the story of football, tells the story of what does it take for a kid to get a college scholarship and then to be signed as a pro and everything that really happens behind the scene, but it's told. It reads like a novel. I mean, it really does read like a novel. And one that I just read in the last, I guess it was been 2 years now, but one of the best sports books I think I've ever read was Andre Agassi's autobiography, which is called Open. And it truly is, I mean, it's not just an autobiography where an athlete sits there and talks about, and then in this Wimbledon, I was going up against Pete Sampras and did that. No. Andre Agassi is an extremely candid, honest person. And through this book, Open, he gives such an incredibly honest and almost haunting look at the sport of tennis, and particularly youth tennis, junior tennis, where he explains how he hated tennis. He actually hated tennis, and a lot of the kids that were playing hated it, but they're doing it because their parents pushed them into it. And he explains it in great detail, going to these academies, being forced to play a sport he didn't necessarily love, but he was great at. And then he talks a lot about the personalities in tennis and the things that go on behind the scenes, and then his own struggles with drugs. He talks about taking crystal meth, and he talks about his marriage with Brooke Shields, and then what happened there, and then meeting Steffi Graf. But it's really, it's written so beautifully. Sally Jenkins did a biography on Lance Armstrong, which is called It's Not About the Bike, and it chronicles his battles with cancer and also all of the biking things with the Tour de France. But again, Sally Jenkins is one of my favorite sports writers of all time, and her dad is Dan Jenkins. I love Fever Pitch by Nick Hornby. Fever Pitch is the best soccer book ever written. It's a fabulous book by an English writer about his love for Arsenal, for the team, the club Arsenal. Jane Levy did a book on Sandy Koufax. It was fabulous. And finally, I'll say one that is kind of a book that maybe a lot of people have never heard of, but I really love it. And as a sports writer, I would highly, highly recommend it. It's a book that came out in 1984, but you can still get it. I looked it up on Amazon. There's a new version. It's called The Thinking Man's Guide to Professional Football. Now, I'm a woman, so it's, they really should change it to A Thinking Person's Guide. But it's a book called The Thinking Man's Guide to Professional Football, and it's written by Paul Zimmerman. He's better known as Dr. Z to people who read Sports Illustrated. He was a longtime NFL writer at Sports Illustrated, and he really knows the NFL and can write about the NFL almost like nobody that I've ever read before. And what he does in this book, The Thinking Man's Guide to Professional Football, is he breaks down each position, the running back, the quarterback, the cornerback, the wide receiver. And he explains in intricate, amazing detail what kind of person becomes, what kind of person is a wide receiver, how a wide receiver is a different person than a quarterback, how a quarterback is different from an offensive lineman. And then in great detail, by talking to so many people and interviewing so many people, describes the nuances of that position, of playing that position.
Wow, that is a fascinating story. Are you heading off to London for the Olympics this summer?
Yes, I'll be in London for the Olympics. This will be my 12th Olympics, winter and summer. So it's really my favorite. The Olympics and the World Cup are my favorite events to cover for two different reasons. The World Cup, to me, is the most fascinating event because of the passion of the fans. There is no sporting event. And Americans don't understand that because Americans think the Super Bowl is a big deal. But it's really not. Yes, we have Super Bowl parties and there's Super Bowl commercials on TV. But the World Cup, every single country that's in the World Cup, except ours, the entire country is hanging on those 11 players and the whole country shuts down. And so there's just an incredible passion in those stadiums when you go watch World Cup soccer live. There's nothing like it. No, absolutely nothing like it. You have to see it and experience it to really understand it. And then the Olympics, I love because those athletes train so hard for one little fleeting moment. And, you know, a 100-meter dash is 9.5 seconds. And there are people training for 8 years for a 9.5-second race. And if you have a bad day that day, if you wake up with a stomach ache on that morning, if you just step out of the blocks wrong on that day, you've been training 8 years for that moment. And it's just the biggest heartbreak. I just find that the Olympic stories, the triumphs are the most amazing triumphs, and the defeats are the most crushing, heart-wrenching. Just to watch somebody who has trained so hard for so long fail and know that the next Olympics are 4 years away. It's not like you lose an NBA game, there's another game tomorrow. You lose a baseball game, there's another game tomorrow. It doesn't really matter, or there's next season. But in the Olympics, that's usually the athlete's only chance. 4 years from now, the athlete might be too old by then. So to me, there's just no drama like the Olympics, just because of it's every 4 years and the amount of training that goes into it and the fact that athletes from every country across the globe are right now, this moment, swimming and doing gymnastics and running and doing fencing and whatever it is that they do, just for that one chance to stand on top of the podium and hear their national anthem. And for most of them, it'll never happen. Most of them will never get that moment. And yet that one little moment of watching their flag rise on the you know, when they win the gold medal, that's what drives them. And it's not money. It's not, other than track and field, it's not really driven by money. It's driven by this incredible desire to be the best at your sport. And I love the Olympics. So I'm really excited about going to London.
Well, we'll be excited to read your stories from there. Thank you so much for stopping by today. Thanks, Michelle.
Sure, anytime.